And thank you for tuning in to the Business and Wealth Show with your host, Mac Atram. Let's go. And today I have our very special guest, Estelle Gibson. And one thing you won't know about Estelle is this. Not only is she a finance expert and helping her clients to really become financially free. That's the name of the game. Right. But also in 2019, when she delivered a TED talk on financial dependency, latest figures show that it now has over 2.3 million views. And Reuters said this, check this out. Reuters said that's one of the top TED Talks on personal finance ever. We are in for a treat right now. Estelle, welcome to the Business and Wealth Show.
Thank you so much, Mac. I'm so happy to be here.
Likewise, I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Estelle, tell us, you know, what was your entrepreneurial journey? How did you become an entrepreneur? How did you get into business? What happened?
Believe it or not, Mac, I grew up in a family where my dad was always like a side hustler back like in the 60s.
When hustle was real hustle.
Yeah. So I think I grew up around it. I mean, he did work for a company, but he was also a plumber and a carpenter and a pipe fitter. So he would go and do plumbing jobs and do small jobs to family, friends, and neighbors. And then he had so many things going on. He made jewelry. He was a very interesting person and very creative. And then we had a leather business. And I have four other siblings, so there was five of us. And it was really four girls and my younger brother. But it was all of us four girls. Maybe the three of us, not my oldest sister, but the weekends, we were like lacing up leather wallets. And my dad was, you know, selling them and doing stuff. So I always saw some kind of side hustle or side business or entrepreneurial spirit going on at all times when I was growing up. So for me, and kids play house and doctor. We played office.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Seriously. So I think I always just wanted to be working with in an office and with numbers and people. So, you know, it started out that way. And then I went the traditional route of going to school. And I did start my career. I was an assistant bookkeeper back in high school, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I got into an accounting class by chance in high school, and then a company was looking for a high school student to come and do some work. So I jumped in fairly early into that type of career. And then as I went through my traditional career, I was always doing something on the side, working somewhere else or doing something. But the big shift for me was when I got divorced.
Okay.
Yeah. When I got divorced and I started on my journey of self-discovery and self-awareness, and it just started with the fleeting thought in my attorney's office, you know, what if other women need help? Because she was a lawyer that worked with a lot of women, need help with their money, because I was struggling to get my money in order. Even though as a financial professional, during my marriage, I'd handed over my financial power. So I was rebuilding my life financially and emotionally. And I had the thought, I wonder if other women need help with that.
Mm.
It was just, you know, a fleeting thought like that. And then as an auditor, I got out of college and went right into international accounting. And I loved working with business owners, especially small businesses, and helping them to not only look at their books and figure out what was going on, but helping them with strategy and how to, you know, create a better business and how to come up with innovative ideas. So it kind of started there and then snowballed into working with individual people from, you know, my own personal journey.
Awesome. Thank you. Tell us about the work you do now then.
Yeah.
If you could explain that in lay terms so people actually understand what you do, how would you describe that?
In lay terms, it's basically helping people that are struggling with managing their money.
Hmm.
I usually work with people, Mac, that have gone through some kind of life-changing circumstance, whether it's they're starting a business or they've changing their career or they've gone through a divorce or they have an empty nest and they haven't necessarily paid a lot of attention. And so they need to rebuild their lives financially. And it's usually emotionally, because usually they've come through some kind of an experience. So I help them learn how to manage their money in ways that are unique to them, because it's one of the things in the industry that people will just say, go do these 10 steps or this cookie cutter thing. And people have different skills, experience, learning styles. So I help them learn how to manage their money in ways that works for them. And then we have to work on the underlying beliefs and mindset, because that's such a big piece of why people manage their money, operate in their money, relate to their money. It's such a big piece of why they do it the way they do. And if they're struggling, we've got to handle both.
Tell me something. You know, it's not comfortable having financial issues or financial challenges. I remember certainly, it'd be more than 20 years ago now, where my small business was struggling. My two business partners had cheated on the business, stolen a lot of money. I'm now in debt. I'm borrowing money to the hilt. I borrowed money over 100,000, 100 grand that I've got to pay back, loans, credit cards, and struggling financially. And it was taking its toll on my health. And really, I didn't know what I didn't know. And I wasn't managing my money very well. So I know what it's like viscerally to struggle with money. Why does a lot of people struggle? Why do people struggle with money? Not everyone, but in, like you said, in a lot of cases where there has been some kind of emotional trauma or emotion, some kind of change, this kicks in.
Couple things. One of the things I want to speak to immediately when you're talking about that kind of situation you were in, that's a toxic money or a money trauma situation. And it's, there is such a thing. And toxic money is when you've been in a battle or a struggle for money, and it may not have been your fault, and there's other people involved, and you carry that anger, resentment, fear, you carry the trauma into your next venture. So we have to clear that energy. The next thing is, people struggle because we don't teach about money. We don't talk about money. So people adopt what they see in their environments growing up.
Okay. So a lot of latent subconscious things that have been going on. So they just automatically play from there.
Yeah. And let me just take it one step further. I have a framework that I use called the four levels of belief.
Tell us about that.
So there's four levels. The first level, Mac, is just the society that you live in. You know, I'm in the United States. We have very specific belief systems around money, whether it's good to have credit. It's, you know, bankruptcy is fine. Just get out of it, get in it again. We're, we're a society that's spending a lot. So based on where you live, different countries, different continents have very different values about money. I just did a presentation for a group in Australia. They have a very different view. I was talking about, what does financial freedom mean to you? And what is your society belief? And they're a little bit more progressive. They want money. They've gotten a little bit past, at least the group I was talking to, past it's the stuff, you know, I need to get stuff to feel better, good, whatever. And they're more proactive into, what is that going to bring me? And what do I want? Do I want a green planet? You know, so it really depends. That's one layer. So that's just one level. So where you're born, where you live dictates that. This and the generation that you've grown up in, whether it's World War II, there's different generations that bring about, you know, the pandemic. There's so many things in the generational. Yeah. The next level is your community. It can be your geographic community, your church community, your sports community, your community online now, and how that influences and what you learn from that community. They're not talking about it, but you're observing, absorbing, and learning from that community. Then there's the family level. So individual families have mottos. I have to work hard. I can't borrow money. I have to borrow money. I got to live up, you know. And then individually, just like you had that experience. So that brings in another level, whether you've been divorced, bankrupt, had a business, lost a business, whatever your own personal experience has been. And it's on those four levels. So when it's that deep, people aren't thinking about it.
Right.
Well, they're acting out of it.
Yeah.
And here's what happens, Mac. Usually something happens and then people start to pay attention.
So an event happens, then someone once said, people don't change until the pain is too big not to change. when that, when that suffering is too big, then they look at outside information or study books or go to seminars or whatever and want to change, right?
And the pain can be positive or negative because maybe you have a baby, maybe you get married. I work with people that get married and you talk about people bringing in their bags of garbage with their relationship. They bring their money bags, their garbage bags of money, you know, because they think about what I just told you about the four levels and think about two people having that subconscious, unconscious belief systems going on and they bring themselves together.
Wow. Listen, the one of the things you want, you, I think your second book, I don't know if you've published it yet or it's coming out, and it's called Poor by Choice. Is that right?
It published, it came out in February.
February, Poor by Choice. Now, tell us about that book because it's a great title. Yeah. And then I started playing in my own mind before this, before our discussion, I was thinking, Poor by Choice. If I'm poor, is that my choice? Or is that something I can do about it? Poverty by Choice. And I'm thinking, Poor by Choice. If someone is falling into a situation, a problem, but they sit in there for the rest of their life, maybe that is a choice. I just wanted to hear what you mean by that.
Yeah. So there's a, three or four different meanings with that, with the title. So the first meaning is very clear because the first part of the book is about, it's a continuation of my TED Talk and about financial dependency. And people are dependent by choice or by circumstance. So that's the defining point. And mine was by choice. I handed over my financial power in my marriage. I'd seen that happen in my family and I became financially dependent. People are poor by circumstance based on whether they've had a tragedy, whether they've had an illness, that whether they've had a death, you know, so it's different circumstances that can create that. You know, the second meaning is just what you said, it's rhetorical. Do we have a choice? Is there a point in any of that that I'm choosing, that I have a choice to try to do better, get out of it, some, you know what I mean? Mm. Am I accepting of my situation and go, that's just how it's going to be? So, you know, the question is, do we have a choice? And then next is based on what we just talked about, are we really a choice or are we a function of our programming?
Right.
And we don't even know it.
Mm.
And the bottom line is to teach people that they do have a choice at whatever level, that it could be a small choice, but they still, you know, if we believe that we're always at choice, you know, when do we recognize that, understand that, and begin to take action on that? And it takes, it's a three-pillar solution, which is awareness.
Okay.
Which is one of the things you just spoke about, Mac, which is people have to go through pain to make the change. You know, it's like until something happens, nothing happens.
Right.
You know? And so I talk about in my book, three levels of awareness, and people get a wake-up call and then they go, I got to make a change. Mm-hmm. Or they could be proactive. Hopefully they'll listen to podcasts and they'll, you know, have something happen so it doesn't have to be a situation. So that's the awareness piece. They have to come into an awareness that I got to do something different. And then the second piece is information. Because we don't talk about money, because we don't teach about money, people just don't know.
Right, right.
And they think it's difficult or they operate out of their programming. And I always say, you don't have to be an expert, but you do need to be informed. You have to have some basic literacy information. And it's not hard. It just, you know, people just have to learn it.
Right.
And then the third piece is support. Because along the way, whether you're in a financial dependency situation or just operating in your regular life, you need support. And people, when they have situations involving money, don't want to ask or tell people what has happened because it's too difficult. It's too shameful. You know what I mean? They don't speak about it. So you've got to get support because once people do, they realize that they're not alone.
Right.
They're not the only one that's gone through this, but they think they are.
Estelle, thanks for that explanation. We have a lot of business owners who listen to this podcast. And what I've noticed working with so many of these type of clients is often, especially the small ones, they mix up their personal money with their business money. I mean, it's like, and I have to constantly remind them, you are not your business. Your money, your business money is not your, it's not your money. It's a separate entity. Your money is money. So tell us something about that. How do you, you manage your personal money if you have a small business as well.
And I do talk about that in my book because it is an issue. That's the first thing. The first thing I do when I work with people, and I do work with entrepreneurs, is I do an assessment. And that's one of the first things I ask them, are your personal and business finances separate? For two reasons, Mac, just from a pure financial standpoint and in the US, a tax standpoint, you really need to do that, right? To keep your records separate, because you need to be aware of what is happening. What's the money coming in? What's the money going out? You have to have an awareness of that. And when it's mixed in with your personal, you know, people think, I just made $1,000. I can go buy shoes. Wait a minute.
Right? That's right. That's right.
No, we've got to have a distinct separation so that you can understand what's going on in your business. And I always tell people, they don't want to deal with the numbers, but the numbers give you power and they give you information so that you can make decisions in your business. Without that information, how are you even operate? Do you know how many sales you need?
Right.
So it's important to keep it separate for tax purposes, for your own personal benefit. And then when you are making money and you are paying yourself, it just creates a boundary so that you don't have to, you're entangled enough, Mac, with your business as far as time and effort and everything.
Yeah.
And so it's just another level of setting a boundary, like you do with your time, and I'm in office or I'm not in office. I am working. This is my money. This is business money. And it's really important. Another thing, I like people to do it because they will bring in money. And like I said, they think that they can spend it all. And revenue and income are two different things.
Right.
The money you bring, because I'll ask people, how much money did you make last year? What did you make in income? And they say, oh, $100,000. You made 100? No, I had six. You know, I brought in 100, but then they're not even thinking about all the expenses. Right. So, and I also want to bring forth a concept. I use it in personal, but it's also applicable to business. In personal, I call it your money life cycle. And you go through your money life cycle as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, as a career person, and as a legacy. And you're either accumulating or investing in something. And there is a business money life cycle, because a person that is in startup is not the same as someone who's in scale up, right?
Very true. Very true.
So people need to have an awareness of, where am I at in my business life cycle, business money life cycle, so that I can put things in place that make sense. And I've got to learn from that, because imagine, Mac, if somebody kept personal and business finances commingled and then tried to scale up.
Very messy. And like you said, I mean, they open themselves up to huge tax implications as
well. Oh my gosh. That's you don't want to do that.
That's not wise. That's treat as two separate entities.
Absolutely.
Tell me something. You know,
and it can be super simple, Mac. It could just be a bank account and a debit or a credit card. Two things, just simple.
That's right. And one of the things I say is, pay yourself a set of money from your business into your personal and manage your personal from there. And
dipping
in and out of that, because it doesn't belong to you. It's an entity on its own.
Yes.
So one of the things you talk about is financial freedom. I just wanted to take a moment to talk about what are some steps listeners can take on the journey to having financial freedom, especially if they are in a place where it is messy, things are not going well, it's financially unstable, or they are in some kind of debt or crisis financially. How do they transform from that to a place where they have financial stability or financial freedom?
I start people out, Mac, with, it may seem silly, but I start them out with a big dream, because you said something earlier about the pain pushing. Pain pushes until the vision pulls.
Oh.
So I got to get people to have a vision and a why so that they can move towards something.
Yeah.
And that why we usually start with, I always say, it's like going to a doctor. People come in with symptoms. I got all these problems. I got all these symptoms. Now we have to deal with the symptoms, but we got to get to an underlying problem. What got you here? Because if we don't solve that, you're going to just, I call it the symptom solution roller coaster. You're going back on it. How many people do you know have been bankrupt over and over? Credit card debt, got out of it, get back in. So we've got to start with a big dream and a why. And then what are your specific goals? What do you really want to accomplish? And I take it one step further. You want these goals, but you want them why? Because most people want the thing, the feeling, or what the thing gives them. They want more money, but what does more money bring you? It brings me this. Well, what does that bring you? And it usually gets to something like financial peace, more time, more, you know what I mean? So we got to define what is wealth and financial freedom to you. What's your big dream? What is your big why? And then we got to go to the next step. It's like, I have a 5-step method, and the second step is like a GPS. Here's my destination. Where am I starting from? I have to have an awareness of what's going on now. Now, I call that the get real statement stage. People don't like that because they have to face the reality. So that is the two, and that's the preparation stage. I have to figure out where I'm headed, and I got to figure out where I'm starting from.
Got it. Right.
What happens for people, Mac, is they take a plan that somebody else says is good and it worked for them. But that's not going to work for you. Right. So we've got to get really clear on where you're headed, and we've got to do a lot of internal work because people have a lot of guilt, fear, and shame about where they're at. So in tandem with the practical things, we've got to take a look at where are you feeling? How do you feel about this? What has happened on a emotional and feeling level and mindset level? Because we've got to work with that. It's kind of at the same time. And then we can get into a plan. Once you know where you're headed, where you started from, and we start to look at the emotions around getting stuck, then we can come up with some really concrete things, whether it's you got to pay off debt, and that's we got to prioritize. Mm. But we can't prioritize until I know where you're going.
Got it. Right. So was that all? Did you mention all the 5 steps? Because I heard 1, 2, 3.
So the first step is, what's my destination?
Destination.
The second step is, where am I starting from? The third step is, how do I get there? What's the route or the plan? The fourth step is, what are my pit stops, drawbacks, and problems? That's like, what has stopped me always, all the time in this endeavor? And we got to deep dive and clear some of those limiting beliefs. And then we go to what's next.
Right.
And I added a fifth step. It was a 4-step process, but I found that if people don't have something on the horizon, Mac, they will flounder.
Right.
Or they will slip back. So we've got to have something, and it can be something simple. I want to maintain what I have and grow, whatever. And I also find that when people start out, they don't always believe that they're going to get out of where they're at. And then once they have an experience of, I did pay off my debt, I did begin saving, I did improve my business, I've got things going on, then they can dream bigger. So we have to start another round.
Got it. So those small wins, those small successes, gives them the certainty that actually they could do much better if they continue following that same system and improving on.
Absolutely.
I love that. Listen, I wanted to talk to you also about money and relationships, right? Okay. As someone who has been through a divorce, and I'm sure it's in your book, maybe some of the lessons that you learned from that, why is money such a big issue when it comes to relationship and the cause of major arguments and disagreements in relationships?
And I'll tell you, Mac, after I did my TED talk, I started getting flooded with couples. And I think part of it was like, I don't want to end up like you.
Wow. Okay.
So I do work with couples, and we take that level. It's the same, all the same stuff individually multiplied. Because you have two individuals that have two different ways of thinking about money and two different ways of dealing with money and two different experiences and levels of belief. So it's amplified. And then they didn't see something growing up or in their family. And there's nothing in the world really that's talking about much. Then they just operate out of their own systems.
Right.
And it becomes a problem. And then we don't have a practice of talking about money, a framework for talking about money. So it's a hot mess. It's a hot mess. And I have people come to me. I've had at least 3 couples that were like, if we don't solve this, we're breaking up. And then after a couple sessions, it's like you can just see the love that's present. It's
Come
couples
back.
Are really fun because when I take them and I use the same process, Mac, we go through the big dream, and what they realize is that they didn't even know each other's dreams, and they realize why they got together. It's fascinating how they begin to create a plan together. And I have some processes that I use because a key piece of this is communication, like everything in relationships
right.
is communication. So most of the time they're not communicating about money. So, or they've communicated in a way that has been negative. So one of the first tools that I use is called a money date. And a money date. Yes.
A money date. Okay.
I send my couples on a money date.
Okay.
And it's basically a time that's set aside. Usually every week, they get to set the parameters. The first date is where they figure out what are we going to do. The rules are, do not meet in a place that you've talked about or argued about money before, because there's way too much built in,
that's right, you know,
in intangibles that will happen. And make it a short meeting, 15 minutes to an hour. I give them a range of things to talk about. It can be a time to talk about what were you going to do on with this money journey, then some specifics about what we're going to talk about each time, or is it going to be about the spending plan? Is it going to be whatever? So we work that out. And so it's a framework that once a week they can come together. It's specifically just to talk about money.
Wow.
And it creates a safe space. And then it's like, hey, you can do it at a park. You can do it over wine. You can do it over food, whatever you choose, the setting and the place. And then there's an agenda and a framework for people to use.
Perfect. 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 Now, you're listening to the Business and Wealth Show with Estelle Gibson and your business and wealth coach, Mac Atram. And we are talking about managing your money, managing your finances. We're talking about creating financial freedom. We're talking about really looking after the money, changing your mindset, becoming aware of what you're doing so you can change. In a moment, I'm going to go to Estelle so she can tell us about how to get in touch with her if you so wish. You know, how do you get in touch with her? How can she help you? So Estelle, over to you. If somebody wants to say, hey, I love this lady, I love what she's talking about, and I need to reach out for her, to her, how can they do that?
You can find me at estellegibson.com. And if you'd like to connect with me further, there's a Let's Connect button where you can just click on that and fill out a little contact form. And if you're interested in me helping you personally with your financial journey.
estellegibson.com. And we'll share that in the footnotes here as well. Fantastic. I want to come back to you in a second. If you can share with us any last point, any last things that maybe I should have asked, I haven't asked, that it's very important and pertinent to our audience that you feel is necessary. Something if we were to finish off now and we would have thought, oh, I should have said this because this is very important. So while Estelle's thinking about that, let me say this. In quick summary, we talked about how your mindset, we've talked about how you becoming self-aware is so important. We talked about why that is important is because of your conditioning from childhood. And we have subconscious things playing in our minds, which actually holds you back. And guess what? When you do make some money, if you haven't fixed those things, guess what? You'll fall back into a loop and eventually go back to where you started. That's why Estelle's work is so, 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 so important. Because if you can fix all that and continue managing your money, guess what? Now you're heading towards financial freedom. So important. So Estelle, I want to say thank you to all for that information. So over to you. Any last points that you want to share?
Only that this is a very customized thing. And I always say that people are a population of one. Mm. You're a unique individual. You have different skills, talents, learning experiences. So take it from that approach. I know it's easy to follow what other people are doing, but don't feel bad if you're not doing what other people are doing, because you are uniquely you, and yeah, how it works for you is going to be different. And the last thing I'd like to leave people with, and this is a quote in my book, information without implementation is entertainment. We can talk about this all we want, Mac, but if you're not taking actions and steps and getting some wins, you're not going to make changes. So implement the information and take some action, even a small action. Any action will take you in the right direction.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Estelle, thank you so much for jumping on the Business and Wealth Show, sharing so much information on a subject that most people know they must get handled and fixed, and you have solutions for them. So thank you for sharing all that information with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Mac.
You're most welcome. Hey, listen, thank you for listening and watching. And whichever platform you're listening or watching this on, remember to like, share, follow, make some comments as well. Tell us what you got out of this. And remember, the algorithms love engagement. So put an emoji in. I don't really mind. Give us a thumbs up. Give us a comment. Say something that we know you're there so we can bring you more awesome, awesome experts such as Estelle Gibson. So Estelle, until we speak again, thank you. Thank you for jumping on. Bye, everyone. Bye for now. Take care.